الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته، وردعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البدحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعنها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى، وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولو ضاح لساخت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: صليت العشاء الآخرة عندكم، وصليت الوتر تحت العرش. صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
I'd like to congratulate all of you on this occasion as we are celebrating the Mi'raj and ascension of our beloved Prophet Khatamul Anbiya wal Mursaleen Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And also we are close to the occasion of the Mab'ath, the Eid al-Mab'ath, which is the celebration about the Bi'that of Rasulullah, which means that the Prophet being officially commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to start his propagation. And this holy month of Rajab is blessed with this great Eid al-Mab'ath, which is certainly counted to be the biggest ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the humankind, because that's how the hidayat and the guidance of entire humankind and the jinns starts, with the propagation that the Holy Prophet did in the city of Makkah. As far as the Mi'raj is concerned, there is a controversy among the historians about the date of Mi'raj, as some of the histories say that it happened on the 27th of Rajab, whereas some of the scholars say that it took place on the 17th of Ramadan, the holy month of Ramadan, and some others have mentioned 27th of the holy month of Ramadan. And maybe the reason behind this controversy is the fact that the Mi'raj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam did not happen once only, like some of the people think. We have the hadith from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wa salam, where he says that Allah took his messenger 120 times on Mi'raj. How it is, has been narrated by Muhaddith Ummi rahmatullah alayhi in Muntaha al-Amal and certain other books also, that the Prophet was taken 120 times on Mi'raj. So that's why our Muhaddithin say that the ikhtilaf and the diverse riwayat and narrations that we find about the date of Mi'raj, maybe all of them are true. Because Prophet did not go on Mi'raj once, he went several times. And there's also a controversy, where did his journey start? Some of the historians say he started his journey, he was taken from Mi'raj to the Mi'raj in ascension from the Sha'b of Abi Talib alayhi salam. Some historians say he was taken from the bed, from the house of Hadrat Umm Hani salamullahi alayha. And some say he was taken to Mi'raj from the Al-Masjid Al-Haram, how the ayat of the Holy Quran say, whereas some of the Mufassireen interpret this ayat that basically what is meant by Al-Masjid Al-Haram is the entire city of Makkah, because the whole city is the Haram, is part of the Haram. So there are different aqwal in the Mufassireen, but of course the most authentic statement among our Mufassireen is that Prophet was taken from Al-Masjid Al-Haram, from the most sacred mosque which we call where the Holy Kaaba is located. Al-Masjid Al-Haram, for those of you brothers and sisters who do not speak Arabic, we call it Al-Haram because it is derived from the word Hurmat and respect. This is the most respectable mosque. So this is the soil which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to the hadith of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, there were two pieces of land that were raised by Allah when the tufan and storm of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam arrived. One was the land of Karbala and one was the land of Makkah, this Masjid al-Haram, which was raised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the tufan and storm of in the time of Hazrat Nuh cannot wet this land. So these are the holiest places on earth. So we call it Al-Masjid al-Haram, means the respectable mosque. Although every mosque has respect, but this is specifically, khususan, it has the highest level of respect. So, Prophet was taken on the Mi'raj. Now, some of the sects of Islam say that the Mi'raj of Rasulullah was only spiritual. But they cannot deny the Mi'raj, because it's the verse of Holy Quran which I recited in the beginning, Subhanalladhi asra bi abdihi laylan. So glorified is he who took his servant in the night time from the holy mosque, from the sacred mosque, from the respectable mosque to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa alladhi barakna hawlahu. So they cannot deny the Mi'raj, but then they say, well, what, the Mi'raj was only spiritual. In our Isna Ashari sect of Islam, we believe that Mi'raj was not spiritual only. We believe in Mi'raj Jismani. We believe in the Mi'raj, which was the ascension of the Prophet, was with his body, along with the soul, of course. But it was not just spiritual Mi'raj. And some of the sects of Islam have said that the Mi'raj and ascension of Rasulullah was in the dream. If the Mi'raj was in the dream only, he saw the paradise and the hell and all those things inside the paradise and hell. Well, anybody, any mu'min can see the paradise and the hell in the dream. Then there is no fadilat for Rasulullah only to see the mirror, to have the, you know, to see the heaven and the hell in the dream. It was certainly not at all something that happened in the dream only. And the hadith which I recited from the Prophet himself, where he says, "Sallaytul Isha al-Akhira indakum," I prayed the last Isha with you, you know, close to you, was salaytul witra taht al arsh. And I prayed the witr, the nafila that we pray, I prayed the nafila witr under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, to you, my question to those sects of Islam who say that the mi'raj was only spiritual, or it was, my question to them is that, do you pray your Isha prayers, your prayers or your nafila prayers with your soul only? Do you just pray spiritually or you pray with your body? So, mi'raj of Rasulullah is one of the greatest fada'il and superior attributes of his soul, which was never found for any other prophet in that way. No other prophet of God was ever taken on mi'raj so high to those highest levels, highest possible level, where our prophet, our beloved prophet, was taken. So this is one of the specific and mukhtas fada'il of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he has said that usriya bi ila sama. It's a long hadith which I am not telling the whole hadith, maybe some other time, but the Prophet said a'tani khamsan wa a'ta aliyan khamsan. Allah gave me five and gave Ali five, and then Prophet mentioned all those five things, and when he reaches the fifth one, he says that usriya bi ila sama wa futihat lahu abwaab as-sama hatta ra'a ma ra'ayt. That I was taken on the mi'raj, on this journey, usriya bi ila as-sama wa futihat lahu abwaab as-sama. That for the sake of Imam Ali alayhi salam, the doors of heaven were opened, hatta ra'a ma ra'ayt, so that he saw everything that the Prophet saw. All but the Prophet saw on Mi'raj, everything that was shown by Allah officially to his most beloved messenger, every single thing was shared by Imam Ali alayhi salam. And of course we should realize that we respect all the prophets of God, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Holy Quran, تِلْكَ الرُّسُلْ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. There are some of the messengers we have given fadilat and superiority over others. So there is tafdeel, there is superiority given to some over the others. Not every prophet is equal, not every messenger is equal. The level and status of our beloved prophet is the highest possible level which no other prophet could reach, because this is the highest level of his ismat and taharat of the qalb, and this is the highest level of his ilm. Because of his ismat of that highest level, and because of his taharat and ilm of the highest level, he deserves to get that kind of qurb and taqarrub and closeness towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is no messenger of Allah who has that high level of ismat comparable to the Holy Prophet, and that high level of ilm comparable to the Holy Prophet, who has the absolute knowledge of ghaib, except the 73rd name among the ism a'zam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The 73 and 72 of those names have been taught to the Prophet, and only one name has been kept secret by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the difference between Khaliq and the Makhluq. That's the difference between the Creator and the creature. So 73rd name is not something that can be taught to any creature. But that's the only difference. But our Urafa say that the Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu was salam are the madhar and most complete reflection of every name and every attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, including the 73rd name, which they do not know. But they are still the madhar of that name also, which we call Al-Ismul Musta'sar Al-Ilahi, which is not known to anybody, anyone, but they are still the mother of that name. So they are created from the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. خَلَقَنِي اللَّهُ وَعَلِيًّا مِن نُورٍ وَاحِدٍ أَوَّلَ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ نُورِي. Allah created me and Ali from one nur. And the first thing that Allah created was my nur. So because they are created from the nur of Allah directly, because they are al-sadirul awwal, how our philosophers say, the first product of God, al-sadirul awwal, al-khalqul awwal, because they are first creature of God, because they are, the nur of the Holy Prophet is actually a nurul awwal. It is actually the qalam, because some of the ahadith says, awwal ma khalaqallahu al-qalam. Some of the ahadith say, awwal ma khalaqallahu nuri. So, and our scholars interpret that all of them are not contradicting to each other. It's a matter of understanding. You need to understand it in the proper sense. It's not, there's no tawad, there's no, contradiction between these ahadith. So we cannot compare the greatness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with any prophet, although we respect all the prophets, but no one reached his highness. Because when we find that Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam did his tabligh and propagation in his nation for 950 years. His age was quite longer than that, but the duration of his tabligh after the Ba'sat of the Prophet Nuh was 950 years of propagation. And after 950 years of propagation, the entire Qawm was kafir. No one accepted Tawheed. No one accepted Islam. No one accepted the Risalat of Prophet Nuh. No one accepted the Aqeedah of the Day of Judgment. People were still kafir, except 80 people, 80, who were aboard the Safina and boat of Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. So, and finally, when he did his service, he did the best of his propagation, and the people did not accept, still, Prophet Nuh alayhi salam cursed his people, how the Holy Quran has narrated, and he said, رَبِّ لَا تَذَرْ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ دَيَّارًا إِنَّكَ إِنْ تَذَرْهُمْ يُغَلُّ عِبَادَكَ. So, Prophet Nuh alayhi salam cursed his nation. And oh my Lord, don't leave a single human on the face of earth. La Rabbi la tazar ala al-ardi min al-kafirina dayyara. Don't leave a single kafir on the face of earth. And the dua of the messenger is always accepted. And we find the tufan of Hazrat Nuh came, which basically destroyed the entire humanity. All the kuffar were killed in that storm. But when we find that the time came for the Holy Prophet and he was doing his propagation, and sometimes we find when the people used to throw stones at the Holy Prophet and hit him and he starts bleeding, and he sometimes used to go into a cave. And Imam Ali alayhi salam and Hazrat Khadija salamullahi alayha, when they used to go to find the Holy Prophet, and they used to find him sitting in a cave and he's bleeding because of the injuries he received from the people, from the kuffar and mushrikeen of Makkah, he was saying, Allahumma hdi qawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun. Oh my Lord, guide my nation, because they don't know. So there is no comparison between the behavior of Rasulullah with the behavior of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam. This is the comparison how you would realize the greatness. Because when we believe in the greatness of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, we are not emotional. There is no room for any emotional behavior in Islam. No, just because we are born to Shia parents, just because we are born to in this and this environment, so we have to believe in this kind of belief. No, there's no room for any emotional behavior in Islam. We have concrete, unshakable, solid, narrated and intellectual evidences for everything that we believe in. There's no room for emotions in Islam. So we find when somebody came and asked Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu was salam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has considered Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam as his khalil. اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. Quran says Allah chose Prophet Ibrahim as his friend, as friend, in other words. So Allah has mentioned Prophet Ibrahim as friend, and whereas Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the Habib of Allah, the beloved of Allah, but it is never mentioned in the Holy Quran. The level of Habib is superior and higher than the level of a Khalil, a friend. A level of beloved is higher, obviously, than the level of a friend. So the friend is mentioned, but the beloved is not mentioned, being beloved. So Imam Sadiq al-Islam replied that this is the sir and secret of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran, that Allah has mentioned the followers of the Holy Prophet as his beloved. So you can imagine when those people who follow the Holy Prophet are the beloved of Allah, how would be the high level of belovedness and mahbubiyat of Rasulullah himself in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah says, yuhibbuhum wa yuhibbunahu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves them and they love him. Those people who are the followers, those are the mu'mineen, who are the followers of the Holy Prophet, are the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so basically, the level of mahbubiyat of Allah itself can be understood from this point. And also we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned all the parts of the Holy Prophet in the Holy Quran. So Allah has mentioned the face of the Holy Prophet in Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 144, where Allah says, قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجْهِكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ. Certainly we see turning of your face towards the heaven. Allah has also mentioned the eyes of the Holy Prophet when he says that مَا زَاغَ الْبَصَرُ وَمَا طَغَى. The eye of the Holy Prophet didn't turn aside, nor that, it transgressed the limit. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the ear of the Holy Prophet in the Holy Quran, where he says, "Bal udhun, qul udhunu khairin lakum." The Prophet listens to what is best for you. And likewise, Allah has mentioned his heart in the Holy Quran, where he says, "Ma kadhaba al-fu'adu ma ra'a." The heart of the Holy Prophet didn't tell a lie in what he saw. And likewise, the Prophet's chest has been mentioned in the Holy Quran, where Allah says that "Alam nashrah laka sadraka." Didn't we open up your breast for you? And likewise, the hand of the Holy Prophet is mentioned in the Holy Quran, where Allah says in Surah Al-Isra, verse 29, وَلَا تَجْعَلْ يَدَكَ مَغْلُولَةً إِلَىٰ عُنُقِكَ. Don't let your hand be tied to your neck. And likewise, Allah has mentioned the feet of the Holy Prophet in the Holy Quran, where he says, طَاهَا مَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لِتَشْقَى. That means, يَا طَاهِرًا مِنَ الْعُيُوبِ وَيَا هَادِيًا إِلَىٰ عَلَّامِ الْغُيُوبِ. We haven't sent down the Quran on you, so you cause distress and hardship for yourself. And likewise, the back of the Holy Prophet is also mentioned in the Holy Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَوَضَعْنَا عَنْكَ وِزْرَكَ الَّذِي أَنْقَضَ ظَهْرَكَ. And we have removed away from you the burden which was weighing down your back. And apart from all those parts of the body of the Prophet, the entire personality of the Holy Prophet, the entire moral character of the Holy Prophet has been mentioned. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Certainly you are on the exalted character. And likewise we find there is only one sunnat, or our mufassireen say, there is only one sunnat of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam which has been followed today, and that is where the Quran has said, وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى. That means we need to pray at the Maqam Ibrahim. See, when we go for the tawaf, and after we do the 7 rotations, we pray at the Maqam of Ibrahim alayhi salam. But when it comes to the Holy Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. Every single aspect of the Prophet's personality is a role model for the rest of the generations to follow. Not just one sunnah. So there's no comparison whatsoever that can be made about the greatness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And likewise, we find that once it has been narrated that a bunch of kuffar like Abu Jahl, Walid ibn Mughira, and Shayba, rahmatullahi alayhim, they came to the Holy Prophet and said, O Muhammad, you claim that you are the messenger of Allah. What dalil, what evidence do you have that you are the messenger? Do you have any witness? And Prophet replied that basically, kullu shajarin wa madarin wa hajarin wa hashish. Every tree and every stone and every plantation can bear witness for my risalat and messengership. So the narration says that Abu Jahl, the head of the kuffar of Makkah, he picked up some rocks from the ground then and there, and presented like this in front of the Holy Prophet and said, okay, here are some stones, here are some rocks. Can these rocks bear witness about your risalat? And the riwayat says that the Prophet had a look towards the rocks and he said, who am I? And the stones started to speak that, Anta Rasulullah haqqan wa nabiyul muzakka wa nabiyul mustafa wa aminul muzakka. You are the chosen prophet of God, and you are the messenger of Allah truly, and you are the entrusted Amin person who is purified. So now you find that Abu Jahl is holding the stones in his hand, and the stones on his hand are bearing witness and doing the shahadat and guwahi for the risalat of Rasulullah. But they still did not accept. There are some people, there are some human beings who are so lajuj and stubborn in their behavior that even if they see the dalil and burhan, they don't accept. جَحَلُوا بِهَا وَاسْتَيْقِنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ ظُلْمًا وَعُلُوًّا. That's their nature. Despite the fact that they have yaqeen, but they still did not give up their stubbornness. So Abu Jahl didn't give up his enmity towards the Prophet, towards the Haqq actually, not just the Prophet. They were enemies of truth and truthfulness. And in the night time, he came on the rooftop of the roof of the Holy Prophet, holding a big stone. In those days they had the hand mills. They used to grind the wheat with the hand mills, and the hand mill had a huge stone which was pressurizing the grain of the wheat and crushing it. So Abu Jahl, what he did, he tried to play smart. He grabbed the huge stone of a hand mill and he brought over his head, and standing on the roof of the house of the Prophet, of the room of the Prophet, that when Prophet will come out for the Salatul Layl, Namaz Isham, the night prayers, come out of his house for wudu, he will throw this stone on the head of the Prophet to kill him. So, in the middle of the night, when Prophet came out, And Abu Jahl was about to throw the stone, you know, Jibreel was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Jibreel struck his wing on the stone, and the stone was had a hole in the middle, and the stone came into his neck. And now the stone is such a huge and heavy stone, is stuck in his neck. And he started to scream and shout in the middle of the night, standing on the roof of another person, trespassing his privacy and his property. And he said, oh Muhammad, save me. Prophet had a look on the top of the roof, what is going on here? And he found this evil guy standing on the rooftop with the stone stuck in his neck. And Prophet said that, do you think if I am sleeping, my Lord is also sleeping? That's the way they used to think. That's the reality. They thought that there is no one else who can take, no one to take care. So he said, well, oh Muhammad, just forgive me once, you know. The riwayat says Prophet took his amama off, held the amama in his hand, and he prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh my Lord, forgive him once for my sake. Allah said, he's your enemy. Prophet said, once for my sake. And of course, Allah removed that stone away from him. But let's be very clear, when we talk about the rahmat and mercifulness of the Holy Prophet, we should not be interpreting the Islamic teachings in an unfair way. Certainly the Holy Prophet is rahmatan lil alameen and the mercy for the entire universe, but that doesn't mean that we can misinterpret the teachings of Islam. Because there are some people who are saying that, there are some people today, unfortunately, who are saying that we have to forgive even the worst of the humans who are committing the worst of the terrorism against Islam and Quran and Al-Qiyamul Ilahiyya and the values of the Holy Quran, and insulting the dignity of the Holy Prophet and writing satanic verses. And those people are being awarded with knighthood by the Queen of Britain. And some people come up and say, no, we should forgive everybody because Prophet is rahmatan lil alameen. How silly this statement is. Because Prophet has the right to forgive. Do we have the right to forgive on behalf of the Holy Prophet? Who are we? Who are we to forgive anybody on behalf of the Holy Prophet? Did he give us the right to forgive on his behalf? Who can take the law in his hand and challenge the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, interpret the law according to our personal desires and wishes and whims? Yes, if Prophet was alive, he had the right. But we don't have the right to forgive anybody on behalf of the Holy Prophet. This is the alif ba, this is the ABC of the Sharia of Imam Salih. If somebody commits a crime against you, do I have a right to forgive him? If somebody commits a crime against me, do you have the right to forgive? Isn't that the ABC of the Sharia? But there are some people who are ready to butter up the Zionist lobbies for their dunya. So we need to be careful about those people. So we find that Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, how it is narrated in Surah Ibrahim verse 35, Prophet Ibrahim prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that wajnubni wa baniya an na'bud al asnam, protect me, keep me away and my sons from worshipping the idols. Prophet Ibrahim is praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, keep me and my sons away from the worship of idols. Whereas we find that Prophet doesn't need to do that dua because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself is saying in the Holy Quran, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. So Prophet's infallibility has been guaranteed by Allah himself. He doesn't have to worry about to pray Vajnubni Vabaniya and Na'bud al-Asnam. So we find Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, Surah Al-Shu'ara, verse 24, where he prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Waj'al li lisana sidqin fil akhirin, and give me and provide me an honorable mention in the later generations. Whereas the Holy Prophet doesn't need to make that dua either, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has said in the Holy Quran, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ, we have raised your mention for you. So Prophet doesn't need to pray to Allah, وَجْعَلْ لِي لِسَانَ صِدْقٍ فِي الْآخِرِينَ. Likewise, we find Prophet Ibrahim was praying to Allah, Surah Shu'ara, verse 85, وَاجْعَلْنِي مِنْ وَرَسَةِ جَنَّةِ النَّعِيمِ, and make me among the dwellers of the Jannat al-Na'im, of the paradise. Whereas the Holy Prophet also, he doesn't need to make that dua because the sons of the Holy Prophet, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussain alayhi salam, are the leaders of the two youths of paradise, where the Prophet himself has said, Al-Hassan wal-Hussain Sayyida Shabab Ahl al-Jannah. And his son-in-law, and his wasi, and his khalifa, Imam Ali alayhi salam, is the qasimun nare wal jannah. Anta qasimun nare wal jannah. You are the distributor of the heaven and the hell. Isn't that right? So Prophet doesn't need to do the dua, waj'alni min warasati jannatin na'im. Jannat is the property of Rasulullah. So we find that when somebody mentioned Prophet Musa in front of Rasulullah, Prophet was so high in his morals, he never used to interrupt the people. When the guy was done, Prophet said that لَوْ كَانَ مُوسَى حَيًّا مَا وَسِعَهُ إِلَّا اتِّبَاعِي. If Musa was alive, if Moses was alive, he had no other option except to follow me. So we find when Prophet Musa was taken on, he went to the Mount Tur and he demanded Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show Allah's tajalli and flash of the divine light. As soon as the divine light flashed, Quran says that وَخَرَّ مُوسَى صَعِقًا, that in Surah A'raf was 143. So when the tajalli was seen by Prophet, when tajalli came, Prophet Musa could not stand it and he fell down unconscious. خَرَّ مُوسَى صَعِقًا. Whereas we find that the Holy Prophet was taken on Mi'raj and he saw what he saw without any hijab between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the Quran has mentioned ثُمَّ دَنَا فَتَدَلَّا فَكَانَ قَابَ قَوْسَيْنَ أَوْ أَدْنَى. Prophet went, drew closer and closer till it was one bow or even further less. And there wasn't any hijab between the Prophet and, we understand in the light of the ahadith. And our scholars say the difference between Prophet Musa falling down after the flash of the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our Holy Prophet being taken to a level where he saw all that without any hijab and nothing happening to him, not becoming unconscious, the difference is that Prophet Musa was not invited by Allah. Our Urafa say Prophet Musa was not invited by Allah. He himself went to the Mount of Tur and he himself demanded from Allah to show him. Whereas, as far as the Holy Prophet is concerned, it's not the Prophet who was demanding, it was the invitation from Allah himself. So that's why our Urafa said that Sifatul Haqq La Tughlab. When there is something performed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, nothing can overwhelm the action of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the reason why the Prophet would never fell unconscious. Because he's the guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. and he deserves that. So we find Prophet himself has said that Jibreel took me from crossing, you know, all those. So he took me till the place where it was the Sidratul Muntaha. Al Muntaha means the limit. That tree, which is the limit, with limit of Jibreel. Jibreel cannot move an inch forward more than what he deserves. Despite the fact that he is the Sayyidul Malaika and head of all the angels, but he cannot move forward. So that was the place where Jibreel, Prophet says, Jibreel knocked the, you know, hijab al-dhahab, the curtain of gold. And the angel said from the other side, who is there? And Jibreel said, it's me, Jibreel, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is with me. So Prophet said, a hand came from the other side and grabbed my hand and took me to the other side. And I said to Jibreel, are you leaving me alone at this stage? And Jibreel replied, لَوْ دَنَوْتُ أُنْمُلَةً لَحْتَرَبْتُ. If I move forward, even the equal to the width of a finger, equal to a finger, I would be burnt alive. That's just a misal. You know, even if a bit forward, even an inch forward, if he moves more than what his limit is, he would be dead. That's his limit of the Nuraniyat of Jibreel. Now Prophet was crossed the hijab of dhahab, the curtain of gold, and then he says, the angel of the hijab of dhahab, angel of the curtain of gold, he knocked the next hijab and curtain, and he knocked that, and somebody asked from the other side, who's there? And he said, this is the angel of hijab of dhahab, angel of the curtain of gold, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is with me. And that was the hijab al-lulu. And the hand came and grabbed my hand and took me there till I crossed 70 of the hijabat, 70 curtains. And after crossing those 70 curtains of Noor, then Prophet was taken to a place where he found a divine vehicle was ready, a Rafraf al-Akhdar, how we call it, the green divine Rafraf, which was available to carry the Holy Prophet. And Prophet was carried on that up to the Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Prophet says, when I had a look at the Arsh of Allah, everything that I saw in my life before that became small in my eyes. Everything became small. Such a huge and grand and azeem thing is the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is a sign of azamat of God. Certainly it's not a physical arsh, it's not something maddi. You're talking about alam nur, there is no madda, there is no matter there. It's the alamat of the azamat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Prophet says that on the pillar of the arsh, that the amud and the pillar of the arsh, Prophet saw on the pillar of the Arsh of Allah, it was written, إِنَّ الْحُسَيْنَ مِسْبَاحُ هُدَى وَالسَّفِينَةُ نَجَاتٍ. On the pillar of Arsh, it was written that Hussein is the torch of guidance and the ship of success, وَالسَّفِينَةُ نَجَاتٍ. And after that, well, the beauty of the hadith of Mi'raj, which is very long and certainly we cannot continue all of that. The beauty of the hadith of Mi'raj is that everything of this hadith is narrated by the Prophet himself. So the Ravi and narrator of this hadith is the Holy Prophet himself. So there is no doubt, there is no shak, there is no room for any doubt about the contents of the hadith, because the narrator of the hadith is the Prophet himself. Nobody else was there with him. If he did not tell us, how would we know? So there is not a slightest room of doubt about the hadith of Mi'raj, because the Ravi is the Prophet himself. And then when people said to him, Ya Rasulullah, can you let us know any ajeeb, any ajaib, any surprising things, amazing things that you saw there, Prophet said, yeah, I saw. Prophet said, I saw an angel. Half of his body was made of ice and the other half was made of fire. And neither the fire was melting down the ice, nor the ice was extinguishing the fire. Look at the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can create anything. And the zikr and remembrance that he had, what he was saying, what this angel was saying constantly, he was saying that, Ya mu'allifan bayna al-thalji wal-nar, allif bayna ibadika al-mu'mineen. O you who combines the ice and the fire, combine the hearts of the mu'min servants of yours. So this is one of those ajaib. And then Prophet saw, I saw an angel there, you know, who had, several thousand hands, and each of the hands had several thousand fingers. An angel who had several thousand hands, and each hand had several thousand fingers. And he was counting with all those thousands and thousands and thousands of fingers. He was counting. And I asked Ibrahim, and Ibrahim said, Ya Rasulullah, he's counting the number of droplets of the rain. Prophet said, I asked him, do you know how many drops of rain have fallen down since Allah created the earth? He said, Ya Rasulullah, not just that, but I can also tell you the number of drops that have fallen down on water, and number of drops that have fallen down on land, and number of drops that have fallen down on the gardens, and number of drops that have fallen down on the graves, and number of drops that have fallen down on the barren land, and on the constructed inhabited land. I can tell you all that. But there is one hisab that I am still unable to count, and that hisab is, if a bunch of your mu'mineen, that means the followers of the Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, if they gather and they send salawat on the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, I cannot count the thawab of theirs. The thawab of salawat is uncountable. Can you imagine the greatness of the Holy Prophet? This itself is telling us the greatness of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. Because sending salawat on them is so beloved in the eyes of Allah that even that angel cannot count the thawab. Prophet has said, Irfa'u aswatakum bis salati alayya fa innaha tuzhibun nifaq. Bis salawati alayya ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. That means raise your voices bis salawati alayya. When you send your salawat on me, raise your voices, because this removes the nifaq and hypocrisy. So sending salawat on the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt removes the hypocrisy and nifaq, which is the spiritual sickness found in the souls of some human beings. And also we find, Prophet said that on the night of Mi'raj, I saw an angel. Yeah, and I'm coming to the end of my speech. Prophet said that I saw an angel who was delivering a lesson. And there were several thousand, there were a lot of angels there standing available in the ranks and sufuf in front of him, receiving his lesson. So of course it's understood that that angel was an alim. He was a scholar delivering lesson of ulum, of ilm to other angels. And other angels were in the saf, in the ranks. Prophet went forward. He always used to take sabqat in khairat, in good deeds. In every good deed, Prophet was the sabiq. So, and one of the sifat of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he always used to take a lead in saying salam. It's narrated in the biography of the Holy Prophet that no one ever took a lead on him in saying salam. Always he was the first to say salam. Sometimes we feel shy. You know, we wait until that moment comes and let him say, or let her say the salam on me. So Prophet used to say salam first. So Prophet went, and Prophet said salam on that angel. And that angel of God, who was an alim, delivering lesson to other angels who were standing, who were there very respectfully, that angel replied back, but he did not stand up in the respect of Rasulullah, which is an insult. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to you and you stay sitting, you don't stand up from your place, this is an insult. Allah doesn't like. And especially when some people have higher respect, then their punishment is also higher and immediate, fauri, without a delay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished the angel. Angels are masoom, of course, they don't do the sins, but they certainly have kalkul awla. So it's a kind of insult. It was better for him to stand up and reply to the salam. So Allah said to that angel, do you know who said salam on you? I have created you and everything else for his sake. That means you and everything else is created for the sake of him. Now you have to stand up. There's no lesson any longer. You have to stand up and say salawat. All you have to do is to say salawat on the Prophet. So Prophet says that angel of God is standing and is doing nothing but sending the salawat on the Prophet. Now you find the, now you realize the highness of the status of Rasulullah. If an angel is replies back in the sitting position, Allah doesn't like. But we have now the people who are saying, no, let us forgive Salman Rushdie, la'natullahi alayh. Now, can you compare the difference? How much some people are ready to do tamalluk for the Saha'ina? And they still consider them to be very mutadayyan. This is even worse. We say our salam to Imam Khomeini, radhiyallahu alayh. To uplifting for i'la of the kalimat al-haq. وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ وَالْمُنَافِقُونَ. Some people say, why do you talk about Imam Khomeini? Why shouldn't we talk about him? Did you say what he said against the about the ihanat of Rasulullah from Salman Rushdie? He deserves to be talked about. He has a haq on the neck of the Islamic Ummah. So, we find that I would end my speech here on this last hadith from Hazrat Khadija, salamullahi alayha, where she says that one night the Prophet was basically relaxing his head, was in the lap of Hazrat Khadija. Sallallahu alayha. And she says that I was looking at the face of Rasulullah, and the Prophet was the most handsome human ever created by God. I was looking at the face of Rasulullah, and spontaneously she remarked that Al Wailu liman la yaraka yawm al qiyamah. Death to the person, woe to the person who couldn't see you on the Day of Judgment. Such a beautiful and handsome human being, but if we are even unable to see his face on the Day of Judgment, we deserve the veil. There are some human beings on the Day of Judgment who would never be able to see the face of Rasulullah because they would be far, far away where the Prophet was. Will be available, they will be far away from that place. So that's why they will be unable to see. What makes us far away and what makes us close to Rasulullah? So She said that statement, Al-Baylu liman la yaraka yawm al-qiyamah, and then she started to cry and her tears were falling on the cheek of Rasulullah, and Prophet opened up his eyes and inquired from her, and she explained the whole thing. She said, well, I was looking at you and that's what I said, Al-Baylu liman la yaraka yawm al-qiyamah, and you know, then I started to cry and Prophet said, do you know? She said, well, that's what I said, basically. So Prophet said, do you know who are those people who will not be able to see my face on the Day of Judgment? She said, no, you know, that, in other words, that you know better. She didn't say anything, but Prophet asked her, and then Prophet himself started to explain, and Prophet said, there are three people who will not be able to see my face on the Day of Judgment. First, the person who listens to my name but doesn't send salawat on me. And second of all, the person, the sharibul khamar, person who drinks alcohol and dies away from this dunya without doing tawbah. Sharibul khamar, the drinker of alcohol, will never ever be able to even see the face of Rasulullah on the Day of Judgment. And the third person that Prophet mentioned was the person who hurts his father and mother, his parents. If you torture your parents, if you hurt your parents and you become and disassociated and disowned by your parents, then that kind of person, aqul walidain, will be unable to even see the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us to understand and to practice the ma'arif of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wa salam. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين. اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين. اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لسيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين. اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين. اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب